Please remain standing as we read the scriptures for today. And today we are continuing in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged, and throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life only one man, and all the people will be at peace." And the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom said to him, "Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, you speak." Then Hushai said to Absalom, "This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given us is not good." Hushai said, "You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is expert in war. He will not spend the night with the people. Behold, even now he has hidden himself in one of the pits or in some other place. And as soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, 'There has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' Then even the valiant men, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and that those who are with him are valiant men. But my counsel is that all Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we shall come upon him in some place where he is to be found. And we shall light upon him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men with him, not one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we shall drag it into the valley until not even a pebble is to be found there." And Absalom said, And all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom." This is the word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads as we come to the text today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering as your people to be able to hear your word declared, your holy truth. And Father, as we go through this text, we ask that you will bring forth by the power of your Spirit the things we need to hear. You will exhort us where we need to be exhorted. You will encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And we will be strengthened because we have seen your majesty and power. We pray all these things in Christ's glorious name. Amen. Now, as Dan mentioned earlier, we have been singing a lot of hymns that have to deal with God's sovereignty. In fact, we're going to close out the service with Luther's famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And if you remember, the last line of that hymn declares, "His kingdom is forever." And as you think about where David is right now, he is fleeing Jerusalem. He's fleeing from Absalom and the troops. He needs to be reminded of that very truth. And quite frankly, many of us, as we go through this world, everybody had a perfect week, right? Now, we deal with a lot of yuck and muck in this fallen world. I mean, let's be real. And we need regular reminders that our God is sovereign. And for His people, He is good. Now, that doesn't mean you won't go through trouble and difficulty. But the reality is there's many Absaloms. There's many Ahithophels all around you today. And so it seems bad at times. It seems difficult. And so as we come to the passage today, I want you to remember a couple of things that we have built upon over the past number of weeks. One, this passage stands in light of the promises that God has given to His people, and specifically to David. And David, being the covenant king of God's holy people, these promises are for God's people. If you remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 28, when Saul was still king, you remember the words that he spoke to him, 28:17. The Lord has done to you as He spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom from your hand, speaking to Saul, and has given it to your neighbor, David. So in other words, these words came to Saul, and it's like, no, David is going to be my king. You disobeyed me. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, we see the narrator records this, "For the Lord had promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all of their enemies.'" So God had used David and placed David in the kingdom to redeem His people, to save His people from their enemies. And even the people's own words, when they anointed David as king, back in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it said, they said, "In times past when Saul was king over us, it was you, David, who led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord has said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.'" And then lastly, remember the words of the prophet Nathan to David after he had tried to build God a house. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting at verse 12, we find that Nathan brings these words of promise to King David. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the Son of Man. But my steadfast love will not depart from him." That's hesed love. "As I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And see, these are some pretty powerful promises that have been given to King David. And David, quite frankly, needs to remember them as he is fleeing with from Jerusalem. We can imagine how he has gotten depressed. He's gotten overwhelmed with events, all of these things. But we have seen glimpses that David hasn't given up. He plants Hushai. He says, "You go back and counter Ahithophel." He prays to his God, make Ahithophel's advice really foolish. So David is realizing that God is sovereign. But quite frankly, David is going, "I don't know how this is going to work out." But he knows his God. And that's what you and I need on a regular basis. And so let us not get bogged down in the fact that things don't look so good for David right now. But let us remember the promises God has given to David. The other observation I want you to make this morning is that the chapter breaks in Scripture are not inspired. And this is one of those very unfortunate chapter breaks. They kind of come right in the middle of the story. And what we need to do is realize this chapter is not like when you read a good novel, that every time you turn to a new chapter, it's like a new sub-story, if you will. No, this is a continuation. We left off last week with Absalom had followed Ahithophel's wicked advice. Remember, he'd gone up to the roof in the sight of all Israel, and slept with the concubines, and basically, publicly, he had made a clear statement that I am now taking over David's kingdom, and I'm willing to make myself a stench in the nostrils of King David. And you need to know there's a new regime. That's the public statement that Absalom had made by following Ahithophel's advice. And so when we pick up with today's text and the narrator starts out with, moreover, he's basically going, okay, Ahithophel gave this advice, Absalom followed it, and now this is probably later in the day. And he's continuing this conversation, if you will. And so this is simply a carry-on of it. And Ahithophel's advice is given. It was a quick and decisive plan to strike David before he had a chance to even think. And so that was Ahithophel's plan. Notice some of the points on the plan, and you can look at it. Ahithophel would select an army of troops and pursue David. So who's doing the selection? Ahithophel. Ahithophel will strike while David's people are tired and exhausted, so he's going to put them into a panic and flee. Now, again, Ahithophel is going to go out and lead this army. And Ahithophel says, I will execute David in verse 2. And with David eliminated, he says, hey, it's like this. All the supporters are going to be going, what do we do now? And they're going to come home like a bride to you, and you're going to get the kingdom completely back. Sounds like a pretty impressive plan. And in fact, it's such an impressive plan. Notice there in verse 4, the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. So in other words, they're seeing and they're saying, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's do it. But God isn't done, is he? We serve a sovereign God. And there's quite a surprise in the very next verse, verse 5. Then Absalom said, call Hushai. What? I thought you just said you liked that plan. Why are you calling Hushai? Why do you need more advice? It's completely out of character. He should have proceeded forward, but who is working? But the sovereign God of the universe. And I can just imagine, you know, maybe I'm overemphasizing this, but I can just imagine Absalom going, why did I just call for Hushai? You know, he's throwing this out. And notice what he says, call the Hushai the Archite. And let us hear what he has to say. Now, Ahithophel's counsel was greatly respected. We already saw that the narrator gave that to us back in 1623. Remember, the counsel of Ahithophel was so esteemed by both David and by Absalom. He's a well-respected counselor. He's a military strategist. He does good work. And quite frankly, his plan is really good. And it's a good plan. But Absalom, just as, remember Pharaoh when he was holding God's people in Egypt? God would soften his heart and harden his heart. It almost reminds me of God had a light switch on the back of Pharaoh and he would reach down and go, oh, he's going to listen to me. Oh, he's going to rebel against me. Oh, he's going to listen to me. This is how God can work in the hearts of kings. And so we need to remember when you're in the middle of what seems to be a really tough situation, is your God sovereign? Is he watching over you? Can he control? Yes, he can. Sometimes he chooses to, sometimes he doesn't. And so the thing that we need to realize is God has placed Hushai in this position. God has moved Absalom to ask Hushai for advice. And even better, what's Absalom do? Hey, Ahithophel said this. He tells him the whole plan. So Hushai has the inside track, if you will. This is good spy stuff, you know, and that's what's happening. God has set this up perfectly. What many of you who know me as I counsel and work, one of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 18:17. It's this: the one who states his case first seems right until another comes along to question. And I often will respond to people and they're going, well, let me tell you what happened. And usually at that point, Proverbs 18:17 will fall out of my mouth. In that it's like, you know, I love you, but I'm going to take things with a grain of salt. Because we have to look at this carefully. God had placed Hushai here. Ahithophel has given this whole attack plan. And now Absalom goes, well, what do you think? Hushai is just, it's like shooting fish in a barrel for him. I mean, he's just been given the whole plan and he can shoot holes. And what was David's prayer to God before? Make Ahithophel's counsel foolish. Remember that back in 16? And then David, when he got to the top of the mountain, stumbled across Hushai and said, hey, I tell you what, you stay in Jerusalem and become Absalom's counselor. It's all fallen into place perfectly. And so Hushai shocks everybody by starting out with, I'm not sure I would have started this way, but Hushai is pretty smart. This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good. Whoa! You're going to go against the wise Ahithophel? And Hushai's like, yeah, you bet I am. And notice how careful and cunning he is in these words. Notice he says, this time. In other words, the implication is what? Normally Ahithophel's really wise and right on spot, but let me tell you why he's not this time. And let me tell you why we're going to go a different way and why I recommend that. Notice the wisdom there in that. But also notice how a sovereign God is using this man that he has sovereignly placed in the court of Absalom. And notice how he attacks the plan. He uses logic, or he uses many forms of logic and several appeals. And so let's look at them in order. First, he uses the appeal of logic, verses 8 and 9. Hushai builds on the very obvious facts. David, Absalom's father, is a man of war. And his men are enraged. Don't you love the word picture that he gives there? And I can just imagine Hushai is not fast in this response and rebuttal. Because what's Hushai trying to buy right now? Time. Time for David and his entourage to escape. So I can imagine that Hushai is there just going, well, you know, he's like a bear cub who's been robbed, or a bear, mama bear, who's been robbed of her cubs. And you can imagine Absalom over there. Come on, old man, come on, get on with it. And he's slowly bringing this out. But he's got time, and he knows he has been placed here. And so he is appealing to logic with Absalom, and he says, David is not going to be with the rest of the people. Ahithophel said, you can go and you can get him. But have you ever known your father when he was running from Saul all those years? You've heard the stories, Absalom. Have you ever known him to be out there where you can capture him? No, David's he's a wily little fella. He's sneaky. And he's going to be hiding in some pit. He's not going to be hiding with all the people because he wants to protect his people. And so that's why he appeals. Notice the words he uses. You know your father. You know how he does things. You're no dummy, Absalom. That's the implication there. That, yes, Ahithophel's plan is sound, but he hasn't thought this fully through, dealing with the enemy that you have before you, your father. And you, of all people, Absalom, know how good your father is. He evaded Saul for years. And then he goes on to the appeal of caution, verses 9 and 10. Now, what's Absalom want to do at all costs? He wants to win, doesn't he? He wants to defeat David. And so Hushai plants fear in Absalom. Notice what he says. You know how fierce his mighty men are. And think about it this way, Absalom. Suppose your troops didn't pull this off and they have a small defeat. What's going to happen? Notice what he says. The rumors are going to start. Now, this is Absalom with the beautiful hair, you know, Mr. Handsome that runs with a chariot and 50 men before him. Absalom was full of himself, wasn't he? Can Absalom handle bad rumors? No way. Absalom is deathly afraid of bad press. And so notice what Ahithophel says. Can you imagine if they started? There's been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. Absalom's like, no, we can't have that. I need to worry about my TikTok followers and my Instagram feed and all of those things. I need good press here. And then he goes bad to worse and he plants another seed of fear in the heart of Absalom. Notice what he says. All Israel knows that your father's a mighty man. And all those that are with him are valiant men. This is going to come at a tremendous cost if you don't think this through, Absalom. Are you willing to take that press? And then he turns to vanity. He uses Absalom's weakest point, you know, the man with beautiful heavy hair. Notice there, he wants us to see that Ahithophel knew how to be a success against David. His plan, I believe, was a very good one. Strike quick, strike fast, and catch him off guard. But remember, God is thwarting the good plan through Hushai. And the key is Hushai knows how to manipulate Absalom. He knows Absalom's weaknesses. He knows the things that trigger him. And Absalom is a vain, self-centered man. And so, you remember Ahithophel's plan when it was read? Let me choose, verse 1. I will arise. I will come upon him. I will strike down only the king. I will bring all the people back. Who's the star of Ahithophel's show? Ahithophel. Does that fly well in Absalom? No. Absalom wants to be front and center. Notice Hushai's plan strokes on Absalom's vanity. Look at it, verse 8. You know your father well. And then you go out and lead the battle. All Israel will be gathered to you. Verse 11, you go to the battle in person. You lead, you get the glory, you get the victory. Don't let somebody else do it. And Absalom, you can just imagine, this self-centered fella is just going, they need to know that it's me. And then lastly, Hushai appeals to vengeance, verses 12 and 13. Notice that Hushai doesn't say, I'm just going to kill the king and then bring all the people back to you. They're not going to be loyal followers. I'm going to totally eradicate David and all his wicked little minions. Every one of them. We're just going to wipe them out. You should not show any mercy on them. You should just annihilate them and let them know that Absalom is king. Notice how he puts it. We shall light upon him as dew falls on the ground. You ever gone out early in the morning and tried to find something dry? It's hard. It covers everything. Not one will be left. Those are Hushai's words. And Absalom is going, yeah, that's a much better way. And so notice how the tide quickly turns. Verse 14. And Absalom and all of the men of Israel said, why, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is much better than the counsel of Ahithophel. And then do you see the editorial comment? Yeah, Scripture has a lot of editorial comments. For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. If you will, you remember in The Wizard of Oz when they finally look behind, don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? You get to look behind the curtain right now and you get to see that God is working through all of these other events. And basically the narrator is going, pay attention here. God is sovereignly working through all these things. And that's what's happening. And so we as we read this text, we're going, well, was it Hushai's wisdom in presenting the case to Absalom? Or was it God working his good providential purposes? What's the answer? Yes. Does that give you tension? It shouldn't. God works through his means. And he accomplished his good and sovereign purpose. Think about how much of God's sovereignty we learned about last week. And here we are seeing God is using the free decisions of men to accomplish his good and perfect purposes. Amazing. You see, Absalom wasn't there going, well, I didn't want to say that, but I have to. No, Absalom was going, well, let me get some advice here. And God is changing and manipulating their hearts. Let's make this real. On this earth, let's be real. Some of you are dealing with sickness. Some of you are dealing with illness. Some of you are dealing with broken family relationships. Some of you are dealing with fill in your blank. This world hurts at times, okay? And we don't always see. What is God doing? Scriptures like this are not given to give us all of the answers. I sometimes wish they were, but I'm far better off. Scripture like this is given to me to comfort me and to remind me that my God is sovereign and he is good to those that he shows his chesed love to. And so these passages like this are designed to give us spiritual comfort and that God will always work for his own people. And he will not forget you. Just as God was working to protect David, God will work to protect you. If you are resting in faith in Christ Jesus, he does that for his redeemed people. Those are the people upon which he shows his gracious, merciful love. We're going to sing the song at the end of the service. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He's our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel aid, on earth is not his equal. And then Luther brings it back to the hope of the gospel for us as we go through life. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. In other words, if you trust in yourself, you're up the creek. But then what's Luther do? He says, get your eyes on Jesus. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. And then don't you love how he poetically goes? Dost ask who that might be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And then he reminds us how this applies in our world. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we don't tremble for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, and one little word shall fell him. And then he gives us the answer in the last verse. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and gifts are ours through him who with us sideth, lets goods and kindred go this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abides with us still. His kingdom is forever. And that's the hope that David needed at this point. And we're gonna stop our narrative at this point. But I want to point you to one of David's psalms. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 18. It's a wonderful psalm that David penned. I wish we had a better byline. The byline, if you notice at the top, which is inspired, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said. So, David's been in sticky wickets before. We've seen that, haven't we, over the weeks. This is a psalm that David wrote. And so, this is a perfectly applicable in this situation. And I'm going to read selected verses of Psalm 18. And when you struggle, I encourage you, go to a psalm like Psalm 18, written by a guy like David, who knew how great his God was, but yet knew how much he had sinned and the consequences that came from that. But he's also a guy who looked to God's grace and mercy despite his sin. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. That's the gospel, isn't it? Because if you were measured because of your sins, you deserve death. You deserve damnation. But because God has provided Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, he bore the penalty. He drank the cup of wrath completely on your behalf. What an amazing thing. And so look at how David puts it. I love you, O Lord, my strength. For the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. For I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And then he reminds us of what it felt like in the rough times. Some of y'all can identify with verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried out for help. And then it continues on. And if you drop all the way down to verse 17, David declares this truth. For he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. David acknowledges, I can't fight the battles. This is your problem, God, and I'm going to rest in you. My enemies, 18, they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place and he rescued me. Why? He delighted in me. There's times you need to remind yourself, you know what? I believe what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. And as the King's English says in Ephesians 1:6, I'm accepted in the Beloved. My God delights in me because of Jesus' work. What a joy. And you need to remind yourself of that in those tough times. And then David goes on, and I'm going to pick out select words that are important. And I encourage you, meditate upon Psalm 18 when you have time. But look at 27, for you save a humble people. David is not arrogantly going, oh, I'm good, I need to be saved. No, David has recognized that he is a sinner. He has confessed his sins and he has thrown himself upon the mercy of his great God. Notice, you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you will bring down. For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Verse 30, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true, for he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And verse 35, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You see, David understood, and this psalm, this whole passage in 2 Samuel, I believe, is given to us that we might have hope. I think Paul puts it that way in Romans 15:4. These scriptures were given that we might have comfort and encouragement in tough times, because God understands this fallen world. And so let us walk in the strength and the mercy that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of encouragement. And Lord, we ask that you will indeed remind us of these things in our time of need. Lord, bring to us the Hushais. Bring to us those who can point us back to the hope and the reminder of a wonderful gospel where we are accepted by you, the holy God of the universe, not because of our good works, but because of what Christ has done for us. And that is imputed to us by faith and faith alone in his work on our behalf. We pray all these things in Christ's glorious name. Amen.
Let us please stand, and as we sing, A Mighty Fortress.